We'll be going through Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 this evening. It's a verse that reminds us that as Christians, our words and our actions represent Jesus Christ and that we need to represent him well. Paul was writing to the Colossian church primarily because there were some false teachers that were promoting ideas from other philosophies and beliefs, and they were elevating them to the level of Christian truth. So Paul saw it as important to write to the Colossians. Some of them were under the impression that salvation could be achieved by legalistic observation of human traditions, by doing things themselves. And so he wrote to them to remind them of the sufficiency of what Christ did for them, for their salvation, not anything that they did themselves. So then we come to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It's a verse that is quite general. It's not specific to any one situation. So it can and it should be applied to many different aspects of our lives. And at first glance, you might look at that and go, oh, well, there's not actually that much that we need to think about in this verse. But I think it might be helpful if we first look at what it means to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what does that mean? If we do something in someone else's name, it means that we act as them, we represent them. It means that whatever we've done, it's as though they did it themselves. You might have heard of maybe property being bought or a donation being made in someone else's name. It's as though that person has done it themselves. In terms of us, well, as Christians, we have taken the name of Jesus Christ, so we act as representatives of Jesus Christ. Our words and our actions reflect him, whether or not they reflect him well. Knowing this, it prompts us to consider whether we would be happy to advertise the fact that we're Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single moment of every single day. So I thought of a few situations, and you can think about these as we go through them. Would you be happy to have a bold print on the front and the back of all your shirts, letting everyone know that you're a Christian? Or maybe a large notice on the back of your car that you can't remove? What about a loud announcement that everyone hears before you speak to someone in person or before you talk to someone on the phone? I presume you're like me, and those things would be really scary to have happen. We're all sinful people, and there are different aspects of our lives that we need to look at. So in a moment, I'll pause. I want you to think about the areas of your life where you'd prefer that people don't know that you're a Christian. Jot them down on your bit of paper you've got there, and we'll come back to them in a moment. Okay, so the next question for us to think about is whether this verse allows us to have more than one life. By that I mean, can we put the aspects of our lives into compartments? So we have, for instance, over here, we have our home life, we have our work life, our church life, our hanging out with non-Christian friends life. The answer that Paul says is no. Well, no, of course it doesn't. We're to have only one life. Earlier in Colossians 3, Paul writes that we're to put to death everything that belongs to our earthly nature. And instead, as God's chosen people, we're to clothe ourselves with actions that reflect our new status as those that have been reconciled with Christ. And of course, he makes no mention of applying this to some areas of our life and then kind of letting those ones be over there. In fact, if we follow that instruction of Paul's, it asks the question, well, how could we have different natures for different situations? He says that our old lives are to be put to death and replaced with the new. So our old nature shouldn't be able to be stored away somewhere, to be pulled out and then put back on when we get to work or when we're hanging out with our mates or whatever. He couldn't be clear about this. It's got to be impossible for us to change between the old and the new. Also, Paul doesn't give us an out when it comes to what this verse applies to. He's explicitly defined the scope. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, it's universal so that it encompasses all possible human activities that we could do. So that includes the thoughts in our heads or the words on our lips or the places we go or the books or magazines that we read or the media that we fill our mind with, whether that's a TV show or a movie or something on the internet or the lyrics of music that we listen to or conversations that we're part of. I'll pause again for a sec. If this has brought something to mind that you think needs to be worked on in your life, just jot it down on your bit of paper. Now have a look at the last part of the verse. When Paul encourages the Colossians to give thanks to God, he wants them to recognise the extent of the treasure of Jesus Christ, which is theirs. He wants them to exercise in thanksgiving to God for two reasons. The first is that they will be protected from lies from false teachers rather than to be drawn in by them, and that they will develop a deeper appreciation of their salvation. the same things will apply to us. For us also, though, I think in this day and age, frequent thanksgiving to God will also put into perspective the things we grumble about or aren't content with. We'll recognise our first world problems as being inconveniences in our lives which are greatly blessed by God. So in terms of applying this to our lives, hopefully you've identified some aspects of your life that need work. That's good. It means that we recognise that we're not perfect and that growth in godliness is something that we've got to focus on and we've got to work at. Remember that God wants us to become more like Christ and to reflect his glory. The Holy Spirit will be at work in us to help us overcome sin in our lives. We need to work with the Holy Spirit, though, rather than frustrating his efforts. Is it unsettling to be reminded that when you do or say anything, you represent Jesus Christ? Of course it is. We're sinful people and our lives aren't perfect. They don't show perfection. But does that mean that we don't work at growing in Christlikeness? Well, of course not. I mentioned this morning and I got laughter, and I hope that you guys won't be as hurtful as those people at Jordan Springs. So I said, here's something that you might not know about me. I'm not a bodybuilder. And then everyone laughed. I checked this with Digger and he assures me it's true. Any kind of body transformation takes effort and it takes hard work and perseverance. It won't happen magically while you're sitting on the couch. I have worked that out, personal experience. We need to think about our spiritual growth the same way. We can't just sit back and expect growth in Christlikeness to happen to us without being involved in it. We need to be intentional about our Christian lives just like we would with anything else. In my head, I picture a filter through which I put aspects of my life, and it prompts questions like, do I need to spend time on this? Will it build me up as a Christian, or will it encourage me to go with the flow and conform to the world around me? When I'm by myself at home, would I be happy for everyone I know, that is my family, friends, people at work, Christian brothers and sisters, to know I'm watching this show on TV, or looking at this, or reading this, or listening to this? When I'm with people in my family, would I be happy for everyone to know I'm saying this to them? If you can work on something like this, you'll be actively identifying what is helpful for you as a Christian and what is not. And then, of course, we've got to pray for strength to make the right decisions multiple times a day as we go through life and to break our existing habits. Much like any other kind of fitness, it'll require perseverance and hard work for the rest of our lives. However, it will also mean that as representatives of Jesus Christ, we'll be growing at living lives that bring glory to God. Of course, we're not going to be perfect, but what we will be doing is working to grow more like Christ every day, and that will be noticeable and it'll be different to the people around us. If you wrote some things down on your page or you've got a couple of things in your head, I'd encourage you to share those things with a Christian brother or sister, or maybe have a think about a couple of people that you could get together with. They will pray for you, they'll pray with you, they will ask you how you're going at working through these things. Also, consider how things are going at home with your Bible reading and prayer, on your own or with other people in your family. We need the frequent reminders and encouragement that comes from reading God's word and speaking with him. If we don't put measures in place to actually do something, they'll be things that we meant to do but never actually got around to doing. I'm going to commit to the Bible reading plan for this year. And I'm telling you guys so that I've told lots of people now and you can ask me how it's going. I look forward to the encouragement I'll get from reading God's word regularly. Left up to you, left up to me, change may not happen at all in terms of growth in godliness. However, when you commit to growing in godliness and you're working with the Holy Spirit and you've got friends praying for you and keeping you accountable, you're much more likely to succeed. Why don't I pray for us now? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this verse from Colossians, and we thank you that we are so valuable to you, that you would put in place a plan so that we could spend eternity with you. Please help us to remember that Jesus' death and resurrection was completely sufficient to save us. Lord, we know we live lives that do not bring you glory and don't represent the name of Christ well. And we pray that you would give us willingness and strength to change aspects of our lives so that we can be proud to have the name of Christian. Please help us to put into action our desire to support each other by praying and meeting together. Lord, we thank you that your plan for our lives is the best it could possibly be, and we pray that we'll trust you in that rather than thinking that we know better. Amen.